seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back for a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we have a ton to get into today. We have three topics. First off, we are going to talk USU Eastern men's basketball. The Eagles picked up a win over number 11 Salt Lake this Saturday. They're preparing to take on Snow College this Thursday. Coach Bill Evans will join us here on Drive Time Sports. We're also going to catch up with Carbon Wrestling coach Ted Prettyman. We'll recap and talk about his first season as Carbon High's wrestling group. And it is Football Tuesday, so we've got to talk NFL, and there's a lot happening. J.J. Watt, now a member of the Cardinals. The idea of Russell Wilson playing his last game in Seattle. And that could be a real possibility, right? And today, the Miami Dolphins have released Kyle Van Noy just after 1 year of a four-year, $50 million deal. Kyle Van Noy has been released no longer with the Miami Dolphins because that set up a reunion with the New England Patriots. I think it's possible. We'll talk about all that and more coming up on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Before we get to that point, we'll take a look at the schedule in the NBA. Plenty happening tonight. Night off for the Jazz. They will return to the court tomorrow to take on Philly. But here's what we have coming up. 5 o'clock, Memphis at Washington. The Clippers will travel to meet the Boston Celtics at 5:30. Plus, we get the Hawks and the Heat. 6:30 tonight, it's New York at San Antonio. And at 7 o'clock, Denver at Milwaukee. The nightcap on TNT. Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns take on the Los Angeles Lakers at 8. It's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports scene. We're going to condense this intro so we can get off and rolling. I want to make sure we have enough time for everything we want to get into. Some days an hour is just not enough. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right after this.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
We're going to talk a lot of local sports on the show today. Coming up on Thursday, the USU Eastern men's basketball team will travel on the road to take on Snow College in Ephraim. Live coverage of that game will begin at 6:30 right here on KOAL. Tip-off will follow shortly after at 7. USU Eastern, 2-4 in conference play, but they have won their last two games. A win on the road last Thursday against Colorado Northwestern, and then followed that up with a two-point win in thrilling fashion over Salt Lake Community College. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, head coach Bill Evans, who's joining us over the phone right now. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
And my pleasure, no problem.
Coach, it was a fun week. Two big wins in conference play kind of erased the taste of that 0-4 start, get a win on the road against Colorado, and then follow that up with a big victory at home against Salt Lake Community College. When you look at it from a momentum standpoint, obviously an important week to say the least.
Yeah, no question. I was concerned. I felt like that Colorado Northwestern was a really big game for us. We struggled early in our conference schedule, so I felt like that would be, you know, a really big game for us. Fortunately, you know, we were able to win, so we got a little bit of a feel good that we hadn't had in four games, and you know, I think Colorado Northwestern has two or three players that are really good players, and I think we did a good job of guarding them. I think number one had And he made eight threes against us. Didn't have a miss. And then the first shot he takes it in Rangeley, he hits two. So he's 9 for 9 for 3 against us. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, is this guy ever going to miss? Well, he ends up going 3 for 13, I think, on the night, and he didn't have another three the rest of the night. So we did a really good job of guarding him, and I think overall we guarded him pretty well. We kind of got going a little bit offensively, got some baskets in transition, and were able to win the game.
You take that momentum, Coach, into the contest against Salt Lake. And I got to ask you, when you get a win on the road, do road wins do more for a team than a home win? Or is that just lip service talk in basketball?
Yeah, I think a win is a win. I think it's obviously a lot harder to win on the road. I shouldn't say a lot harder. It's harder to win on the road, I think, you know, all the things that come into play, the travel and playing in a different environment and, you know, those kinds of things make it harder. But all wins are good. Certainly wins on the road are good, but it doesn't do you much good to win on the road if you can't win at home.
Very good point. And that's exactly what you guys do. Just a couple of nights later, you get Salt Lake. This was a game that was close throughout, Coach. 2-point lead at the end of the first half, and then a buzzer beater to close things out. And we can talk about Dontrell here in just a moment. But going into this game, what did you learn about Salt Lake the first go-around that you guys were able to implement and adjust the second go-around?
Well, I think as time went on, I felt like that they were a team that could beat you in transition, that could beat you with penetration, with offensive rebounds. I didn't really realize that they were as good. And I watched a lot of tape. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I didn't realize they were as good a three-point shooting team as they are. And so that was something that we really put a lot of emphasis on in practice, was to get the three-point shooters. And they only made six the game before when we played, and they had one guy that made six. And so we did a better job guarding the arc. They're a really good team rebounding the ball and in transition. You know, they're well coached, and it was a good win for us.
One of the things that stands out to me, Coach, in the box score is really the inability to get to the foul line and to beat a team like Salt Lake and to not have a ton of opportunities at the foul line, not to get those free points. That doesn't happen too often.
No, you're right. And I don't understand why. I think almost every team we've played in league has shot more free throws than we have. And so that's a little bit disturbing in that we play, you know, all zone, which one of the advantages of playing zone is you don't usually foul as much. I guess my guys are, I don't know, making some bad plays or overly aggressive or whatever. But we need to keep attacking the basket and trying to get to the foul line. That's for sure.
Well, as far as attacking the basket goes, we saw Dontrell do that. Final play of the game, takes it hard to the basket, scores 2 points. That ends up being the go-ahead basket to win the game as the closing seconds fall off of the clock. Coach, in that final moment, to have someone like Dontrell back, you and I had a conversation a little while ago about what he means to this team. It's a lot of athleticism right there for Dontrell.
Well, Dontrell is a really, really gifted and talented guy. He's able to drive the ball. He's big and strong and athletic enough to finish around the basket. He's clever in there. He knows how to get shots off in traffic. Dontrell is really gifted, and he can really make a difference. He's been injured some. Sometimes I'm being cautious here. You know, sometimes his effort is not as good as it needs to be, but that could be more directly associated with his conditioning, because he's been hurt with an ankle. He didn't have COVID, but he had the flu bug. He had a strain in his thigh. So he's had some issues come up that have kind of derailed him a little bit with his reaching his potential, and then his conditioning. You know, he only played 21 minutes against Salt Lake, and that's, you know, related to being able not to practice on a consistent basis.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Bill Evans of the USU Eastern men's basketball team. Coach, just having Dontrell out there, how much easier did you see the game for someone like Jesse or someone like Donoval who handles the basketball?
Well, I think Donoval, or Dontrell, excuse me, is pretty skilled with the ball. I think he's a really good playmaker. I think he has a really good feel for the game. You know, sometimes he gets up in the air and he'll throw the ball to the wrong team sometimes. But he is aggressive. He does have a good feel. I don't think he's selfish. With the ball, he'll make plays for teammates. Dontrell's best days are ahead of him, I think, and if he continues to work and gets in better shape physically and keeps working with his defensive understanding and effort, the sky's the limit for Dontrell.
Let's fast forward, Coach. We'll talk about the two games coming up this week. First off, a trip to Ephraim to take on Snow College. Going back to the first meeting, boy, it was a battle. Went back and forth. Overtime game, come up just short. Now that you prepare to take on Snow at home, is it as simple as saying that first meeting, it was all about Snow's ability to knock down the three-point shot? Is it that simplistic, Coach?
No, it isn't. Snow can really shoot the ball on the perimeter. I think Coach Nielsen has the type of guys that really have a good understanding of who they are and the way they play. They play like a bunch of veterans, even though their coach talks a lot about them being really young. They're 21-year-old freshmen, so they're not really that young, and they have great basketball IQ and feel. One of the things you have to be able to do against them is you have to be able to rebound the ball. They have some really, really good offensive rebounders who really have a good feel for the game. And so they're in position to rebound the ball at both ends.
One of the things that, as you mentioned that in the box score, Coach, I was going to ask you about last go around, they had 10 offensive rebounds compared to 5 for us.
Yeah, no, they're a really smart bunch of guys. And I think that's one of their strengths, their ability to make plays because of their basketball IQ.
Now that this team has a couple of conference wins, Coach, have you noticed anything different in practice? Does getting a conference win, does it alleviate some of the pressure? Do the kids play more freely? I mean, have you noticed any of that this week?
Oh, I think that any time that you win basketball games, you feel better about yourself. Losing will bring out either the best in you or the worst in you. And I think my guys are headed in the right direction. I think they're pretty motivated. Obviously a couple wins really help. You know, winning on the road is always a big thing. And then beating a ranked team nationally, you know, gives you confidence as well. But we practiced really hard yesterday, and we worked on the things that we need to get better at. And we'll continue to do that today and tomorrow, and then hopefully use the stuff that we've worked on and learned about ourselves for this weekend.
It should definitely be a fun one. Not an easy task when you got to go at Ephraim and then at CSI. It's a couple of that's a brutal road trip.
It is a really hard road trip. It is, but part of being a winning team and competing in your conference, you have to be able to win on the road.
Coach, last question before I let you go. I've asked coaches this at the NBA level all the way down to the high school level. Is there a point advantage that you give a home squad? I mean, I've talked to some coaches in the NBA. They told me it's a 10-0 disadvantage when you play on the road. Do you believe in that?
I think there's an advantage. You know, I couldn't put a number on it, but I do think there's an advantage to playing at home. But gosh darn it, if you want to be a good team, you got to win on the road.
Mm-hmm. Coach Bill Evans again of the USU Eastern Eagles. Coach, I always look forward to the conversations. I appreciate the time again today, and I look forward to talking with you and Ephraim. Thank you so much.
Sounds good.
Again, that's Coach Bill Evans of the USU Eastern men's basketball team. Plenty more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. We'll break for just a moment. When we return, we'll move over to the NFL. We'll also jump back over to the local sports scene a tad bit later. We'll talk high school wrestling. That's what's coming up right here on Drive Time Sports. Back right after this.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
It is Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. And then we got a lot of local to get into. We have to talk some NFL, and, well, there's a ton of storylines going on. In fact, some more news. Earlier today, the Miami Dolphins letting go of Kyle Van Noy just 1 year into a four-year, $51 million deal, where $30 million of that was guaranteed. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the new home for J.J. Watt and what is happening in Seattle. We'll bring in Vinny Rondinelli, who's joining me over the phone right now. Vinny, the NFL season, we say this every week, but I'm providing the listeners with more proof. It writes its own storylines every week.
It really does. It seems like we do say that every week, Jordan, but it's true. There's something happens in the NFL, I mean, every day that, you know, you're going, whoa. Whoa, you got to think about, and it's constant, you know, it's constant for us to talk about. Gives us info and storylines to, you know, break down.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's start by talking about the news that came out yesterday. J.J. Watt signing a two-year deal worth $31 million with the Arizona Cardinals. $23 million of that is guaranteed. He'll now line up opposite of Chandler Jones. And again, just looking at the way this division is stacked up, what do the Rams do? They go out, they get a quarterback. You know you have Russell Wilson for the time being in Seattle. And, you know, you got some lethal pass rushers all the way around. If we're talking about Bosa in San Francisco or if it's Donald in L.A., the Cardinals had to do something. And I don't know if this is a franchise-changing or a season-changing move, but it's no joke to have J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones on opposite sides.
Absolutely. This is a sneaky good move because, like you said, this is a team that just barely missed out on the playoffs. And I think that's six losses by less than 5 points. I'll have to double check that, Jordan, but they were in every game. And, you know, if they're going to improve offensively, which they feel they're going to, Kyler Murray will get better. Putting Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt, if they stay healthy on opposite ends, the difference between a field goal or three or four, you know, one or two plays defensively, you can make a sack here or there. You might win two or three of those games that you lost, and then you go from 8 wins to 10 wins or 11 wins. So it's a sneaky good move in the fact that, you know, if they get a healthy J.J. Watt, he was productive last year.
He was.
Yeah. You know, the stats say, the metrics say, he was basically double-teamed all the time. He was overused. He played too many snaps. But healthy him and Chandler Jones, that makes a lot of problems for guys. And he sets the edge. And, you know, if you're playing in a division where San Francisco and your Rams, the stretch play is the basis of your offense. If you're running into Chandler Jones or J.J. Watt and you help slow that down, that makes your defense a lot better. And especially in your division. So I think it's a sneaky good move, Jordan.
Yeah, you know, and as far as pass rush in the NFL right now, first off, neither one of us were surprised that he went to Arizona. A lot of familiarity there. And this is why I never believed for a moment he was going to Pittsburgh. I know Steeler fans got the idea of teaming him up with T.J. Watt. Like, it was never going to work because Pittsburgh probably has the best pass rush in the NFL as we stand. However, I'm still not willing to say that Arizona has the best pass rush in the NFC West based on the fact that San Francisco had so many injuries last year. And when you look at Nick Bosa, I know you're very familiar with Joey Bosa. Nick may be better than Joey. Okay. And then
he could be.
He very well could be. Okay, and so you team him with Eric Armstead, Dee Ford. I mean, you look at everything that San Francisco has. Then you look at the Rams, and they still have the best they got the best football player on the planet in Aaron Donald. But Arizona's entered that category. They've entered that conversation because they were top five in sacks last season. You have to believe that number is going to improve. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and you're probably going to lose Hassan Reddick on the other side. You know, he bought himself, or he played himself into some money, especially at the end of the year. He had 7 sacks the last 5 games of the year. He's developed into that guy to take over when Jones got injured. So he priced himself out of Arizona most likely. So what do? You get a replacement that, you know, is probably better against the run than Reddick. Chandler Jones provides you pass rush anyways. Like you said, you're trying to match up in your division. You know, most teams build that way, Jordan, is they build to win their division. And that's an automatic get into the playoffs. You know, you win your division, you're in. So a lot of teams are building that way. And like we said, you know, bootlegs, stretch plays. What does McVay and Shanahan want to do? Those things. So you got to be tough on the edges if you want to win your division. And, you know, I think, like I said, sneaky good move. But again, you know, if Leonard Floyd signs with your Rams, great pass rush there. Niners come back healthy. Armstead, Dee Ford, Bosa, Javon Kinlaw, the first round pick from last year. Great pass rush there. Seattle, not so much. You know, that's the one thing they got to work on. And you got to think that that's something they're going to work on is pass rush. They put in some, you know, draft capital into that. So you got to figure they're going to improve that way. So, yeah, Arizona needed to get into the game.
Again, Vinny Rondinelli, our guest right now. It's Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. We have Vinny over the phone instead of in studio this week. Vinny, speaking of pass rush, let's move over and talk about the Miami Dolphins. They released Kyle Van Noy just 1 year into a 4-year, $51 million deal. He's going to account for $13.9 million this season, then $13.6 in 2022. Now you're looking at $4.1 million in dead money. So all in all, it's a cost-saving move for Miami. But Kyle Van Noy was not bad last season at all. In fact, he was pretty good. Now you look at this Miami defense, and I guess it's what, Andrew Van Ginkel? Is that who takes over? I don't know. They were already in the market for a linebacker. Now you get rid of Van Noy just 1 year into a 4-year deal. Kind of baffling. I didn't see this coming.
No, I did not either. This kind of reeks of something going on. That's going to come out later. This kind of reeks like a move of a personality or a disciplinary move because they don't need the money, first off. They didn't upgrade the player, second off. So why would you get rid of a guy 1 year into a deal when you don't gain anything? So this is going to be a story I think we're going to have to keep an eye on, Jordan, because I think there's more than meets the eye here. There's no reason from a production standpoint, from a football standpoint, to cut him 1 year into this deal. So what else is there? Is it a personality issue or a cultural issue within the locker room? You know, what happened here? Because, you know, the Dolphins are rebuilding. You know, we talked about the great job Flores has done, and he cut it down to the studs and rebuilt it back up. They won 10 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a guy the team's improved. They're not improving. They're not better by cutting Kyle Van Noy on the football field. So they didn't really save a bunch of money. You know, you have dead cap there. So why, what happened here? Yeah, this is going to be a wild story.
You save about $8 million. That's it. When you look at the numbers, you give him a 4-year deal after a 2019 season with the Patriots. He has 56 tackles, 6.5 sacks. This last year, he had 69 tackles and 6 sacks. So the production was, you got what you expected out of Kyle Van Noy. Let's put it that way.
He played great.
I don't think he's on the market very long. Vinny, you believe he goes back home to New England, don't you?
Yeah, I think this is one of the moves that reeks of Belichick. He comes back home to where he had his best seasons. They're going to get Hightower back. They get Chung back. They're probably going to get Gilmore back. He missed, I think, 6 games last year, if I'm not mistaken, Jordan. So the Patriots defense that was good last year is going to be real good if Van Noy joins them. And, you know, if they get any offense at all, the Patriots are right back in this thing. So this reeks of, you know, a guy coming back to where he was. But, you know, I'm certain we're going to find out something. There's something weird about this situation. We're going to hear about something we didn't expect because football-wise, this makes zero sense.
It's move back over to the NFC West. Now we'll talk offense and the idea that Russell Wilson may have played his last game in Seattle. I don't know if that's the case, but as we always say, where there's smoke, there is fire. And last week, we get the list that Russell Wilson puts out, teams that he would be willing to play for. One of those teams on that list, it was the Chicago Bears. Another, the Dallas Cowboys. I know we also mentioned the Raiders and the Saints as well, but the reason I'm going to bring up the Bears and the Cowboys is because, Vinny, it's almost mind-boggling to me that the Bears, A, still don't have a quarterback. We have no idea what they were going to do. We had this conversation 2 weeks ago on the show. They did not make a move for Carson Wentz. They backed out, and the asking price wasn't even that great. The Dallas Cowboys have yet to sign Dak Prescott to a long-term deal. And it's questionable. I mean, you have to ask why. Then all this comes out. Russell Wilson may be done in Seattle, and those two teams are on his list. It's starting to make more sense. I don't know that Seattle moves him, but it does make a lot of sense now.
Yeah, it does. And like you said, where there's smoke, there's fire. He's, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm not a fan of this, you know, this public airing thing. I think the agents have a lot to do with this to create these stories. But you get the sense that Seattle's plateaued. And to get to the next level, these competitors are saying, hey, you know, we need some help, and I want to be involved in that. You know, for me, quarterbacks, you're the leader of the football team, but you play football. You stick to football. We're going to see how this plays out. I think an interesting unknown thing happened yesterday, which was kind of a move nobody really paid that much attention to, was Alex Smith got released yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Smith has a lot of familiarity with Matt Nagy going back to Kansas City. So does Alex Smith become a bridge quarterback now for the Chicago Bears?
Unless you can find a way to make a move for Russell Wilson. And at this point, knowing what you have at quarterback, I would
you
break.
You have to try.
You have to.
Exactly right. If you're Ryan Pace, this is your last year anyways. Without a deep playoff run, you're done. And him and Matt Nagy have to know that. Without a deep playoff run, they're done. So you have to expect, you know, how many of these phone calls, you know, we'll never know. People, there's a lot about that good old boy network in the NFL. We don't get to know about Jordan. We get to talk about it and speculate. We don't know how many of these text messages go back and forth, have informal talks. But I find it almost impossible to believe that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have not called John Snyder and Pete Carroll and at least broached the subject.
No doubt.
There's no way they haven't called.
Right. Right. So let me break down
into something. You're right with Dak Prescott being open, Russell Wilson being unhappy. You have this, you know, copycat league. You know, one quarterback spouts off, well, then another one's going to spout off, and you got quarterbacks moving. Well, let's trade for a quarterback. It's been a wild offseason, so nothing would surprise us. But I find it impossible to believe that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have not called John Snyder and Pete Carroll and asked about Russell Wilson. And I think Jerry Jones has too.
Well, he should. He should at this point.
He should.
Let's go back to the Bears for a moment. Let's say John Snyder says, okay, you can have Russell Wilson, but this is what I want. I want your first round pick, which is 20th overall this year. I want your 2022 first round pick. I want Khalil Mack. And I want a young player like a Cole Kmet. What would you say to that?
I'd say it's too much.
You think it's too much? Because it could be a franchise-defining move for both teams.
It could be a franchise-defining move, and you got to go big. But for me, that's too much. That is too much. Khalil Mack is an upper echelon pass rusher, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
He's one step below Russell Wilson. And, you know, we know that pass rush, left tackles, and quarterbacks are your cornerstone players. So you're giving up an all-pro for an all-pro anyways. Then you're going to throw in two first-rounders and a young player for a player that, I mean, you can honestly say Khalil Mack as good a pass rusher as Russell Wilson's quarterback. They're both, you know, top six in the NFL. So you're giving up premium position straight up. To add any more capital to it seems to me like too much. Maybe
a
pick or two, second and third maybe, but I have a hard time believing. You know, if you're going to throw in players, it changes the whole game, you know.
My only gripe with that is, and I agree with you, Khalil Mack is special. He's been special his entire NFL career. But did the Raiders get any worse when they moved on from Khalil Mack?
That's a great point.
Did the Bears get any better when they added Khalil Mack? I mean, seriously, let's look at that.
Yeah, that make you know when Khalil Mack got traded, he was the 31 ranked defense in the NFL. So, with that being said, yeah, I could see another pick going to it, Jordan. But you know, and the cap's going to figure into this. Mack has a huge cap number. Russell Wilson has a big cap number. Space, all that's going to go into this. But you know, I'm sure that's where the negotiation started, with a player and extra picks. I'm quite sure Seattle's not giving Russell Wilson away unless they get exactly what they want.
Good point.
It's going to be a very wild offseason. We've already seen things that we didn't expect. We've already seen some movement. You know, there's still some smoke and fire coming from Houston with Deshaun Watson. You know, the Bears need help. Where's Trubisky fit into all this?
Yeah. Again, Mitch Trubisky's out there.
You know, that's something you keep saying. What if they have to franchise tag Trubisky? So that's part of the equation. Now, Dak Prescott, second franchise tag or not, that's part of the equation. There's a lot of moving pieces right now, and this is going to be a very interesting opening day of free agency.
Yeah, the quarterback market.
This is going to be a crazy market. Plus, these deals that we don't know about, that people are talking about, deals we're hypothetically speaking about right now, we have another 16 days, I think, before – free agency. So a lot of these could happen. The trades and different things could already go down.
Yeah. Forget about the NFL draft. Free agency's in 2 weeks, and that's going to shape and mold the remainder of this offseason that has been fantastic up to this point in time. Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. Vinny, next week, I know we'll get back in the studio, and I'm sure we'll have more to talk about because we'll be that much closer to free agency.
Yeah, these things we talked about today will probably be a lot clearer here in about a week.
Yeah, no question. Vinny, always a pleasure. We'll catch up again next week.
Awesome. Thanks, Jordan.
Let's break one more time. We'll come back. More local sports is on tap when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Going to move back over to the local sports front, and we'll continue our season recap interviews. And we talked basketball yesterday. Now we're going to talk wrestling at Carbon High School. We've heard from Coach Kirk Christiansen and the way the Spartans wrapped up the season. Now we're going to hear from Coach Ted Prettyman and the way that the Dinos wrapped up the season. And Coach Prettyman's joining us right now over the phone. Coach, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, I always look forward to it as well, Coach. And now that we're a couple of weeks past the wrestling season, you've probably had an opportunity to go back and kind of assess things. And so 2020 and 2021 as a whole, I know, was a little bit odd, and you guys had so many restrictions. I don't know if there was another sport that was as heavily affected as wrestling. How did you assess the way this past year went?
Well, you're right. The COVID had a lot of different restrictions, but it's my first year coaching here, so it was kind of an odd year anyway. But we were really lucky. We had only three cases on the team all year, and one of them was a manager, so only two wrestlers. But I think our year went really well. We're trying to establish a new way of thinking and get our team working together. And as a team, I thought we did really well. We pulled together, and I feel like we had a real successful year.
I know, Coach, at times when you and I had talked throughout the season, there were a lot of positives. One of the things we did not have an opportunity was to talk about was the way the kids performed at divisionals, and so I guess that's a great place to start. You guys had a lot of success at divisionals, which you can't have success there but before state. I mean, you have to make sure business is taken care of at divisionals. And so all around, it appeared the kids performed really well there.
You know, from time to time, we just looked really well. We, at the 3A divisionals, we did really well. And at the region, our kids performed well. We had several injuries that stopped some of them from wrestling for 2 or 3 weeks. And that's hard to come back at the end of the year when you've had 3 weeks off. But I think they did really well. What we're trying to do is, as a team, is get our team together, to pull together, to cheer for each other, to just change the attitude that's been here for a few years. And I feel like we did it. I felt really successful at bringing our team together. So they're obeying the rules. They're listening to each other. They're supporting one another. And it was really fun.
I think that gets lost in translation sometimes, Coach. Wrestling, I mean, it's an individual sport, but you have to have team success. And so as you talk about getting these kids to buy into that team concept, you've been around wrestling for so long. Is that really the most difficult step in creating a program that can have mass success, weights 106 through 285? Is that the most difficult aspect?
Yes, it is. And like you say, it's an individual sport, so they tend to go their own direction sometimes. And to be successful individually, you have to, you know, you have to win the region, you have to win the state, whatever. But as a team, we want each other to encourage each other. The ones who teach best in practice are your fellow wrestlers. Now, we don't have a whole lot of kids in our wrestling room. You know, we're just starting, really. We have less than 20. And so they have to really work together to perfect each other. The better, rougher competition you have in practice, the better you are on the mat. And so when they start taking an interest in one another and commenting on each other, you're doing this wrong, or could you try to do that? And that's what started happening at the end of the year. And it was great to see, and it's going to really pay dividends in the future.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Ted Prettyman of the Curbon High School wrestling team as we recap their 2020-21 season. Coach, you have two kids that finish inside the top six in their prospective weight class at the state tournament. Ari Cronin-Dunk finishes 3-2 at the 152-pound weight class. And then we also had Easton Horsley finish sixth at 220. He finishes 3-2. Those were the two top performers for you at state. Those kids were typically, any time that you and I would talk wrestling, those were two of the kids that we would really talk about.
Yep. They've been real team leaders and good examples for the rest of the team. Easton got a tough break at the state tournament, but you can't, that's wrestling. It's you've got to be performing at your peak the whole match. And but he was also out for a couple of weeks because he hyperextended his elbow. It just didn't end up as well as I'd like it for him. But when he come off that last match, put his arms around me, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah. Coach, one kid that you had that didn't quite place, but I know we're all expecting big things for him, from him in the future. It was Brax Tapia. He finishes 2-2. And each time I've talked to you and when I've talked to other coaches around the state, they gleam when they talk about Brax and the future that this kid has.
Yeah, we have Brax is going to be, he's going to be good if he keeps progressing the way he is. And I see no reason why he won't. But we have about five freshmen just like him. We really do have a really good outlook on the future. And we have Colin Fawcett, who's probably the most improved wrestler on the team this year and works the hardest. But Braxton is one of five freshmen that I'm really excited about.
And so, Coach, as you prepare for next season, and I know you expect to come back as head coach next year, you look at these freshmen, you still have so much room to grow, but it is. It's a key building block, isn't it, for a program?
Oh, yeah, and they've bought into our program. So next year will be a whole lot easier to coach them, and they have a really good idea now what I expect of them. So I'm really excited. I really am. I think we're going to... It's going to take two or three years to put a base under us, but I think we're getting there. And I feel, and the parents have kicked in. And so when you start getting support from parents, that's really your basis. If your parents don't support their kid, it's hard to get him to go anywhere. But we have good support from the parents and a good crop of freshmen and sophomores. I'm excited.
Coach, what's next? What's next for this program now that we've hit the offseason? How long do you guys break, and when do you get rolling with the younger kids and preparing for next season?
Well, we'll have We'll have open gym during the summer, and we'll have a couple of opportunities for them to go to camps. We're just setting those up. So we can't just stop and let it go. We got to keep working at it, but we'll start a summer program as soon as the state lets us. And our last thing we can do, they won't let us have a banquet because of the social thing. So we're going to have a father and sons wrestle off next Wednesday, and just kind of have a, that's where we'll give our trophies and everything. And that's where I'll line out what we're going to do for the summer.
Well, Coach, congratulations on completing your first year. I'm looking forward to more conversations in the very near future, especially as the offseason gets off and rolling and we have a little bit better understanding of what the state's going to allow this summer. I'm so appreciative of the time that you've given me throughout the year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Again, that's Coach Ted Prettyman of the Carbon Dino Wrestling Team taking out the time to join us on the show today. We're going to continue on with our season recap and wrap-up interviews. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by Coach Jared Butler of the Carbon Dino Boys Basketball Team. We'll also catch up later this week with Coach Lynn Tuttle and Coach Ted Bianco. And the next week, we're into the spring season. Baseball, softball, soccer, we have tennis, we have track and field. We have a lot to get into. You can get your spring sports schedules for Garbin and Emery right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. Out of time of the show today. I will catch you tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.